December 31st, 2022. It's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
For Pedro show, happy Saturday. Start off the show with Twinkle Twinkle. Fucked up, sorry. And you can tell I'm not man alone, people, right? We'll get to that. But this was Live at the Five Spot, 1957, the year I was born. And Only Smoke with John Coltrane. And Solar Wimp after that was Sowing the Seeds of Dumb. And like I said, not man alone because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. Mark Kimbrell, welcome aboard, all the way from Alhambra.
All right, happy to be here.
California Connect. Okay, big respect to Stephen Bibono for making the connect and bringing it aboard, truly. Please, Mark, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Oh, man, you know, I have one single memory from when I was like 3 or 4 years old. I'm like sitting on the couch with playing with like a little like handheld FM radio, like the size of a Walkman. And like, I don't know how it works. I'm just spinning dials. And then all of a sudden, like it clicks on a station and that song Walk Like an Egyptian comes on.
And I'm like,
whoa. Yeah. Yeah. And that like blew my mind as like a 4-year-old.
They were the Bangs when they first came out. You
know. The Bangs? And then they changed it?
Changed bass players and changed... Well, they modified it, right? Because they just added some letters.
Yeah.
I think an L and an E.
Okay. They had to make it a little more family-friendly?
I don't know. I always thought it was the hair because they were part of this thing that was going on here in SoCal with... They called it Paisley Underground, and these people kind of, you know, there was a lot of parts of the movement that got into like kind of a Halloween thing. So you'd have rockabilly, and you'd have mods, and that was Paisley, right? Like some, of course, it was at that time, so it was just, that's why I say it's more like Halloween. But it's always Halloween. That's why I like Halloween. That's the only thing we admit it. So, okay, first record you bought with your own money.
The first record I bought with my own money was like a Beatles compilation. Actually, no, that was my parents' money. First record I bought with my own money, I remember I went to like the music store at the mall, and I had heard a P-Funk song. I had heard something from Mothership Connection, and, you know, I didn't know the name of the song. So I went into the record store and I was like, "You guys have that song? We Want the Funk." You know? Yeah, they didn't know what I was talking about.
There is a song that's the title. Yeah, they're only coming out of the spaceship.
Yeah, Give Up the Funk. Yeah, and they couldn't help me, so I ended up with a cassette single of CNC Music Factory. So this is like 1990. Ish, you know.
Everybody dance now.
Yeah. So, you know, I was probably like 10, 11 years old, and it had that like MIDI guitar sound.
Like, angular kind of rhythm, you know, really. It reminded me of Herbie Hancock's, what was that, Rocket?
Rocket,
real. And then they're like the weather girl lady, right? Everybody dance. Yeah. Okay, what about the pad you grew up? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Okay. Was the pad you were in... Here we go. Was the pad you were in have musical instruments?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, we had a piano. My older brother did play guitar.
Did you have to go through the piano lesson thing?
Man, you know, my mom tried to get me into piano lessons when I was like young, and like I wouldn't do it. I didn't want to do it.
Well, you know, pianos are percussive. You know, they used to be in the rhythm section.
I know. You know, when I think back on that now, I'm like, man, that was my first major musical mistake.
Right, you can kind of like count it on these, or you can think of it as buttons, and every note's got a button. Okay, but and your brother had a guitar. He's your older brother. Did you jump on that?
Yeah, I mean, not really. Like, I kind of was like always just drawn to the drums, like from the get go.
Well, let me ask you about school. Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
I did like the school band in middle school. You know, like they did the thing where, like, you know, in elementary school they go through and like you like test the instruments and they tell you what you're gonna play. And I got on trumpet for the first year. Whoa. And then you know, which you know, I liked well enough.
You didn't want to be like playing the kick drum in the marching band the best was the three toms, right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what everybody
that,
wanted, right? The three that, toms.
No,
the inner city schools here, when you know, we were in the same league as them. So downtown Manual Arts and Locke, Washington, Fremont. And these guys had bands that were like kicking ass with the drum parts. I mean, major. And it seemed like the dudes really went with it. It's like three toms on a rack.
Yeah.
And you go around on it, right? This is bitching. But kid, yeah. I mean, it all goes together. It's like a parted out trap kit.
Right. Yeah. They used to, there's the guys like goofing around like in band class, they'd set it up like that. Where one guy would like hold the like suspended cymbals like hi hats, so the guy would play the snare and those at the same time, another guy would play the kick drum and try to like actually
urinals.
Play like rock stuff on it.
I don't know about the Urinals, but they were a band from the '70s.
Urinals?
Yeah, here at SoCal. West Side. And I think they went to UCLA. And but they, after the Urinals, they made a band, two of them made a band called Rad Waste, and they parted out the drum. One was on tom, one was on kick, one was on snare. tripped out.
That's cool.
In a rock band, you know.
Yeah.
They had like four or five of the people were the drum set, and then there was a bass and a guitar. a trippy Rad Waste. So let's get back to your thing. So you're on the trumpet, but you say you got interested in drums. Is this before you got on the trumpet?
Yeah, I wanted to play drums, but like, you know, I guess they needed a trumpet player. So I spent like all of the first year kind of looking over my shoulder at the guys in the drum section at the back being like, that's where I want to be. So then after that, I was able to switch. You know, I just went to the band director. I was like, look, I really want to do this. And, you know, he was.
Oh, because you could do like an end run and just get a drum set and make noise at your house.
I had to go the legit route first. After I switched, then my parents were like, all right, if you're doing that, then they finally got a drum kit for the house.
And like, who were you looking up to? Did you take lessons?
I did. After
school, there's instruction, of course.
Yeah, so there's a school, and then, you know, I got the drum kit, and kind of like the first kind of like hero, drum hero for me would be Mitch Mitchell.
Yeah.
So I got the drum kit and started.
You know that quote from Jimi Hendrix, he goes, yeah. Mitch Mitchell, that's my Elvin Jones.
Right. Yeah, I didn't know who Elvin Jones was at the time, but yeah, in retrospect, yeah,
and
for
then
sure.
There's some songs that are hilarious. You know, I mean, I dig it big time, but like Stand Next to Your Fire.
Yeah,
he's like showing you everything he knows.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Ronnie
yeah.
saw him, the Stooges guitar player.
Yeah.
Because they come in through. Yeah. The England bands coming through Canada at Windsor there, Detroit. They played Dan Arbor. He said there was only like 100 people at this little club, and no one would come to the front of the stage, so he walked up there. He said Jimmy had a marching band kind of jacket on. He said Mitch Mitchell had a bucket on each side of him. One had beers, and the other one he was puking in every couple of tunes.
Oh, my God.
In between. Yeah. That's what he told me. So, what about the thing? Oh no! First gig you saw?
First gig I saw, like the first, the very first gig I saw would have been my uncle's band when I was like, would have been like on summer vacation when I was a kid down in Louisiana. So like my mom, like my mom's brothers, like she's got a bunch of musician brothers. And so the first thing I saw would have been one of his things, which would have been like, they were like doing like, kind of like Hank Williams kind of stuff.
Okay.
And I remember going and being excited, and I got there, and then there was no drummer. It was just with a drum machine, and then I was bummed.
Drum machine. Hank Williams with a drum machine.
Yeah.
Now, what about this? Not after school graduate, but after school in the afternoon. And garage band, basement band, bedroom band. Did you get into that?
Oh, yeah. So, like, pretty much right after I got the drum kit, these other two kids from school that were guitar players, this guy James Ripley and this other guy, Zach Maples.
Where'd you set up?
We set up...
Because it's usually at the drummer's pad, right?
It was. I think first time was at one of the guitar players' houses in his basement.
But the setting up, tearing down,
Yeah, so we did that, and those two guys were super into Jimi Hendrix. So they were learning all those tunes, and then I was
You guys were doing like that's what me and D Boone did learned off records. Were you composing?
Not really at the time. You know, like the very first kind of time we jammed, like you know, they're just playing, you know. As I remember it now, it's probably like two chord riffs because we, you know, none of us had ever played as a group with anybody before, and I was like, "Yeah, let's do it! Oh man, we're a band. Let's write music."
My favorite things is just two chords. Yeah, Funhouse one chord, TVI's one chord. You know, make fun of Ramones three chords, and some of the songs have one chord. Lime and the Coconut, right? Harry Nilsson. Look, you gave me some more Solar Wimp, Triumphant Snooze.
Oh, yeah.
Let's play.
Discontent, drinking chocolate, liquid smelling salt. Around Unto him she proved so kind, and he's courted her for 6 long months. Unto him she's proved a just said it.
As I walked out one morning in the springtime of the year, I overheard a maiden likewise a soldier did. They sang a song together, may the valleys fall to rain, and the birds on the spray and the meadows gay proclaim the lovely spring. And if I had my way to go, along with you I'd stay. But the queen, she does want soldiers, and I must sail away. But it's lovely on the water to hear the music play. They both shook hands and parted, that they might meet once more. For there's one above does guard us, where cannons loudly roar. Oh, there's many the mother's darling was taken on the main, and it's in this dreadful battle many thousands will be slain. Oh, Tower Hill is crowded with women weeping sore for their husbands, sons and sweethearts gone to face the cannon's roar. Thank you.
Pedro Show. I've done it now 21 years, 7 months.
Wow.
Pedro Show. Yeah. Only 21 years, 7 more months to go.
Yeah.
I love doing it. People, that chunk of music started off with Solar Wimp doing Triumphant Snooze. Then Spot's the guy who produced the old records for SST, Black Flag, Husker Du, Meat Puppets, Minutemen, Saccharine Trust, Descendants. You know, he plays bluegrass and stuff, so these are his, right, there's a tradition, they like have standards in his traditions. Humors of Garlic, / Old as the Hills, / Ryan's Jig. Then the Shovel Dance Collective with part two from their new album. It's got 4 parts. Trippy. Francesco Fusaro and Fros. Little collab here. Vagalaya Omaggio AEM. And so, yeah, Scoozy for fucking up everybody's language, including my own. Solar Whip with Totter's Torture. Okay. So, that with this, with these Jimmy guys, were you guys, did you have a name? Did you do gigs, or was it just a prac band?
No, we never made it out of the basement.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we did, too. So, what's that? Why not? After school, do you want to like do music more in the institutional way?
So after high school, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like after that, I was, you know, music was really, that was the thing I wanted to do. So, came out west, went to Musicians Institute for a while, got started in a band.
Where is that? Is that in Hollywood?
Yeah.
Just came out blind, went for it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like Bob Lee, you know, Lambertsville, New Jersey, and just puts his drums in the station wagon and looks for bands in the Recycler. Remember that thing came out?
Oh, yeah. Recycler was still around in those days.
It's a shift. Yeah, all my stuff came from there. There was no internet yet and stuff. Yeah, all my cars, all my music stuff, everything.
God, that's cool.
It'd be 75 cents to come out on Thursdays. Wow. So, so while you're out here doing the education, did you get in some bands?
So I started playing in bands pretty much right off the bat, you know, in retrospect, probably too soon. I probably should have, like, focused more energy on the education, rather than, you know, just trying to, like, you know, I mean, I was 19 years old, so coming from a small town to LA and like playing in bands, I was like, all right, you know, I'm here, I'm doing it. And then, you know, after a year and a half, when that first band just kind of crashed and burned,
yeah,
you know, I was like, oh shit, you know, like I could have used this time, I could have invested this time a little better in myself.
They say that youth is wasted on the young.
So I
you know what I mean, because you're learning while you're doing, so I think everybody's like that when they look back.
Yeah.
About stupid things. But believe it or not, older people do stupid things too.
the older I get, the more I'm aware of that.
less younger. Younger you get. So these bands, they were bands you joined, so you were kind of side mouse.
Was
some that you started and you would like deliver material? You know, to me, part of the future is drummers that are composers.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you see
Cliff Martinez with these soundtracks he does and stuff.
There's a handful of, like, drummers that have kind of moved into, like, the cinematic thing.
Garrett Martin. Yeah, because I think that you can, like, kind of paint an audio picture kind of thing with all the little loops and little percussion, little embellishments and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe so. It's just the idea of the drummer has got to be stupid or, you know, all these cliches and stereotypes. It's just Chico Hamilton, he couldn't get songwriting credit. The notes just are shorter. I mean, everybody's playing little rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Paganini, I mean, he went about 150 notes without repeating, but most people are doing a little rhythm, so they're all like little drummers, I think. In fact, I've come to this understanding with the bass, four-string guitar note, four-string drum set.
Oh, yeah.
Proof in point, there's a Fender makes a baritone guitar, it's tuned an octave lower just like the bass is, but because of littler strings, it don't have the punch. And that punch shows you there's a percussive element, I think. But then, I think guitar is percussion. You start splitting hairs on that stuff, I wonder,
Yeah, I think there's different ways of doing it,
I heard that Levon Helm would get up to play mandolin and Richard Manuel would get up on the drums.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The band.
So,
where is Solar Wimp in this period?
Soon after. The kind of that first band I just kind of like joined as like, the drummer that fizzled out, and then kept playing with a couple of those guys and stuff in another project, and I was actually kind of more driving that along. And then, then I met up with Solar Wimp, with Ruin and Jeremy, kind of a couple years after that.
So you're saying Solar Wimp was actually existed before you joined?
It did, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And I got to tell you, we're going to have to continue this very interesting saga, because we're at the end of the first hour of the...
Oh, shit.
What is it, last year of 2022, December 31st, special guest Mark Kimbrell. Hold tight for hour two. December 31st, 2022. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
You want to take a five? You want to take five?
No.
I don't.
Yeah.
All right. All right. This is 10 more raps.
Just the angle to
Thank you.
Pedro Show, start off the second hour with Ain't Shit But Borrowed Molecules. Smog. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Smog. And after that, Almighty Op with Pulling Myself Through. Bombas Prendon after that. From Forward, Backward, Mixed Down Number 2. Dream Interpretation Number 18 from Roger Clark Miller. He's the Mission in Burma, 1/3. And then Earth Smog again with Bright Empty Future. Okay, let's continue where you left off. These two guys have this band called Solar Wimp.
Yeah, so that started a...
And how'd you find them?
Craigslist.
Okay, so the internet version of the recycler.
Yeah, I put an ad up there just, you know, saying I was a drummer looking for...
Available.
You know, looking for something.
Yeah. And they had you try out?
Yeah, kind of. I kind of got together with Jeremy, the guitar player, a couple times. And, things clicked pretty quick. And... I think probably like the third time we got together, he's like, "Hey man, if you want to do it, you're in." So, just jumped on in.
Okay, and then they had a set already, or were they still putting it together? I mean, what was their history?
So it's a pretty long history. It had started as a duo between. Jeremy Kerner, the guitar player and singer, and this other drummer, Corey Flanagan, who's super good drummer. They had both moved out here to L.A. from Peoria.
Peoria. My ma grew up her teenage years.
Right on. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's about 200 miles south of Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay, so they had that, and when they went through all these evolutions...
Yeah, so now, yeah.
Do you remember your first gig with him?
First gig with him? Oh, man. I'm trying to.
How long was it? How long were you practicing before you did your first gig? It's a trio, right?
Yeah, it's a trio. It was probably like, a few months. Not super long, because they had a ton of material. So it was mostly just me coming up to speed.
But you didn't learn it all, right? You learned enough for set.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And they were kind of, you know, they were sort of trying to figure out what they wanted to do moving forward, what they wanted to kind of leave behind as the history.
Oh, you didn't have to pretend you were like the last drummer. Okay. They wanted to involve the band. Yeah, that's happened.
Yeah.
So did you get involved with the songwriting stuff?
Not tremendously. Like Jeremy is like a song creation machine. So he'll basically.
Well, what's he come in with, ideas, or does he bring demos?
He brings demos of, like, he'll have a guitar track.
Yeah.
Basically like start to finish. And then maybe sometimes if, like, you know, we need to, like, work something out, we'll get together on, like, some riffs or something and just kind of, like, you know, feel them out in the practice space, and then he'll kind of go back and then incorporate that into his process. So he makes it super easy for me in that, you know, he's, like, he's got all his shit together, and then, you know, hands it to me to kind of, you know, interpret it drum-wise, basically, you know, to whatever way I want.
Can you remember the first gig?
Man, I don't remember the first gig. It was probably at this spot. There's a spot called Second Street Jazz in Little Tokyo. That was like
I remember there was a pad there called Blue Whale.
Oh, yeah. So this was like before that.
Well, it's little. This is like a couple blocks.
Yeah.
It's a little area.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's this spot, Second Street Jazz, that, like, this guy, kind of, like older, like, Japanese jazz guy and his wife owned, and his son also worked there. And so they basically let weirdo rock bands kind of come in there and do nights.
You know, Chinatown, there was gigs in the late 70s, Hong Kong Cafe. And there was a chow pad to the Atomic Cafe. People would go after the gigs. Had a freak out thing there once with Joe Price.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to play some more Ortsmog. You got to tell me about Ortsmog next.
All right.
Thank you. This is the
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. That chunk of music started off with some more Ertzmog, an excerpt from his Your Brother. And we had Al Margolis with Viv Corningham doing voice slash contact mic. Phil Venable, I'm sorry, Phil. Paul West duo out of Chapel Hill. Cave Steve Process. Ray Shin after that from Reno. Black Box. And then Upsilon Acrux with Remnants of the Habitable Epoch. Okay, Mark, no. Please tell me about Ertzmog.
Yeah.
Because so, are they parallel projects, or did one end and another one start?
Parallel projects. So through Solar Wimp, I met Paul Lai from Upsilon Acrux, and also met Dylan Fujioka and Noah Guevara.
You know what? I think those cats have been on the show.
Yeah, I know, Paul. Yeah. So you almost got the full Upsilon collection.
Yeah,
here.
I think I got Dylan and I got Paul.
You got Paul and then Patrick Shiroishi.
That's right. He was the last one on the sax man.
Yeah.
Just a New York tour. Small world.
Yeah.
But it's great. I love it. I love the connects. Okay, so tell me.
So I met Paul and Dylan and Noah through like playing in Solar Wimp. Then we started that newer version of Upsilon Acrux, and then Patrick Shiroishi joined that, and then a couple years into doing that version of Upsilon, we started Ertzmog.
So it was kind of the same band?
No, it's different. It's different people. I mean, so Ertzmog is just a duo. It's just me and Pat.
Oh, okay. So it's two guys that have played with Pat from the sax man, right?
Yeah, sax, and then in Upsilon, he's playing the Fender Rhodes piano.
That's right. That's what he told me. I would love to play with all these guys. Dylan was on twice. He's made some great albums. I think all the stuff himself.
Yeah.
These guys, young, great musicians, way into it. And so, well, you kind of explained about the Upsilon Acrux, and I've played them before because Paul was on the show. Solar Wimp was kind of the gateway to these guys. You didn't have to run any more Craigslist ads.
No. It was just the one. So, yeah, it was the gateway. Because Dylan Fujioka and Noah, they had a duo, the guitar and drums duo called Grandpire. and so they kind of hooked up with Solar Wimp, and we were doing a lot of gigs together. We were doing a lot of shows at the Second Street Jazz Spot.
I think Patrick was telling me he's in Rosemead.
Yeah. This is
we used to make all these hell rides to Orange County to do music. Now he finally got out of that. And what about the drums? Have they evolved? The drum set? Drummers don't like you see the guitar players, right? They buy 10, 11 guitars. You don't really see that with drum sets.
It depends. I mean,
Did you come up out with a kit, or did you get one here?
I did come out here with a kit. That one I didn't have. I had it for a few years. I don't know. I switch it up.
No, like Steve DiPaccio and Flipper. That drum set he's played is when he played his first Flipper gig with.
Yeah.
Hitman played with them 42 years ago. It's the same drums. He did paint it once. It was white, now it's black. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, December 31st, 2022. Edition of Peter's Show special guest, Mark Kimbrell. Hold tight for our feet! December 31st, 2022. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pete Rose Show. Watch for Pedro show. We started off the third hour with Upsilon Acrux, or Na Cult Men. Victoria Shen. I dropped her off at Patrick's Pad when I gave her a torpedo a couple months ago.
All right on.
The whippersnapper excerpt. Yeah, this is a pretty wild expression from this musician. She's incredible.
Yeah.
Solar Wimp, Earth Indoors. No, not yet. We'll play that next. We're going to talk a little bit. Because I want to get from you. So now there's three Upsilon Acrux songs. So we've had a couple Urt Smog songs. And then, yeah, Urt sounds like a horn noise.
Right? Yeah.
And then yeah. Solar Wimp songs. So tell me, Mark, the difference playing with all these different projects.
They definitely require like different mentalities. Like with Urt Smog, it's probably the one that I actually like, you know, do the most actual writing for.
Yeah.
You know, so Patrick and I kind of share those duties pretty much down the middle. And like working in a duo, it's the collaboration is just super direct.
Don't have to worry about chord changes.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. So you can.
This was a big thing with John Coltrane, how his bands evolved. He wanted to get away from all those chords.
Yeah.
It started even with Miles, you know, in that modal stuff. So, and so what you bring him patterns, and I'm curious, the patterns, do you use like voice memo on the leash, or do you make your own kind of drum demos?
Yeah, so like, you know, so like if I'm like, you know, somewhere where I'm not in a drum kit, yeah, I'll like record like I'll like beatbox into the phone real quick.
Right.
And then I'll try to like go.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And then I'll try to like get on the kit and you know, just record like a, you know, an actual little snippet, and then, you know, yeah. We pretty much like every time we're in the practice space for Urt Smog, we're just recording everything we're doing so that we can
You draw from that. So a lot of stuff comes out of jams. Okay.
Yeah. And sometimes,
but
you know,
you bring in stuff that he can trip on. And
Yeah.
Okay, now tell me about with Upsilon.
Upsilon's real different. You know, in that, you know, we got two drummers, two guitar players, and then the Fender Rhodes. So it's a lot of that starts. Most of it starts with guitar. Feeling out like two guitar patterns, then kind of two drum patterns, and it's a lot of refinement.
Now, you know, there's a couple, I found there's two ways to do the two drummer thing. Like Jim Brown, he had the guys playing the fucking same thing. Then the other guys, like, you know, the Allman Brothers, you know, they parted out. So you don't have, because the flams, right? If you ain't fucking sock tight, you're going to hear flam like a motherfucker.
Yeah, it's a.
If you go for same part, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I saw Jim Brown do it with three drummers, playing the same part, and they were. It was sock tight, you know.
Wow.
But that's. So I'm wondering, how do you guys do it at Upsilon?
So the approach is really sort of like almost like two different. It's kind of two guitar and drum duos at the same time.
Okay.
So it's usually like me and Paul playing one part, and then Dylan and Noah playing a different part, and they kind of like interlock together, kind of jigsaw like, and then Patrick is usually kind of floats around or maybe he's in the middle, kind of gluing it all together.
You know, there was in the old days of the movement, there was a band in Hollywood called the Screamers.
Yeah.
And Paul Rossler, they had two keyboards, one synth, and one played a Fender Rhodes through a fuzz tone.
Oh, wow.
So you listen to those. And then KK, the drummer man, he played alongside a rhythm box. So it was like live drums with the rhythm drum.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were trippy. They made recordings like, but no real records, because they thought they only wanted to make videos. They were kind of futuristic.
Okay. Bill Reifland was in that band, right?
No, I knew them. They had KK, Paul Rossler. The singer was Tomato Duplenty. And the synth guy, player was Tommy Gear.
Yeah.
And, yeah, their first one was from Seattle. They were called the Tupperwares, just singers, just Tommy Gear and Tomato. And the backup band was actually the Mentors, El Duce and stuff. And Eldon Hulk or something was his, you know, birth name. So he had double kick drum, and he had that on each drum. I've seen pictures of these guys playing. I don't know if you know about Mentors, but they were a trip. I want to play some more Solar Whip. We're going to loop back around to the Lutsky, because I got to ask you how it is playing with them.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. Last music for this edition for 2022. The chunk started off, final chunk, Solar Wimp with Earth Indoors. So I'm Gil of Hope, people. Then we had a Shiverboard from their live cassette thing. This was September 24th, 2022. Live at the House of Yarga in Philadelphia. Julie Schooley. That's a title. And finally, Ert Smog with Every Motherfucker Is Your Brother. Now, in likeness to, you know, this other dimension you're doing drums with, the Solar Wimp.
So, Solar Wimp is, that one's, you know, it's, that one's probably the most, like we're a rock band kind of thing, where it's, you know, guitar, bass, drums, trio. So Jeremy's kind of the engine behind writing stuff. And then really, like, he pretty much leaves me to my own devices in terms of, like, you know, just coming up with the drum parts and changes that just work for the song.
But it's composed more, not as much jamming and improvise.
It's at this point, it's pretty tightly composed.
Yeah, and plans.
Plans?
I mean, let me ask you. First off, is there a Mark Kimbrell website?
No, not as such.
Okay. And so what do you have? You want to get one because it's like having your own fanzine.
Yeah.
No, that's where they know where to go to hire you and stuff. It's sure. Like your own Craigslist thing. But
there you go.
Do you have plans? Music you didn't give me for the show. Are you involved in right now?
Yeah. So we got a new Solar Wimp record that we're wrapping up right now. So that'll be finished out of the world sometime in 2023. The next Ort Smog record, we're pretty much done writing that. So we're going to try to get that recorded in 2023. And then for Upsilana Crux, Paul just moved back from Taiwan a few months ago.
Okay.
So we're starting that engine back up again.
But there's no other music you're involved with, because sometimes you ain't recorded it yet, so you couldn't have given it to me.
But
you got three big things. It's probably hard, big enough to juggle, right?
Yeah. So these are all the projects. So these
albums that are going to be birthed soon, when they come out, why don't you bring the guys on? You know, you can do this conference call shit on the Skype, and we can spiel and play all the music to talk about it.
Yeah, for sure. It'd be great.
That'd be happening. You know, and finally, any advice? Like you said, you came across the country to give it a shot.
I mean, the only secret is not to quit.
Oh, it's a secret, huh? I just thought it was advice. Okay. It's secret advice, people.
I mean,
don't quit, but we're not. We kind of ruined the secret because we told everybody.
It's out there now.
No, you know what? Sometimes it's that simple, right? If you keep it simple, you can probably stay the course. If you try to get all these layers and schemes going, maybe that's where things get fucked up more, or it's easier. But if you just keep it simple, like you said, don't quit.
Yeah, because there's always a road ahead. So
there's Marshall Allen Torn still in his 90s from Sunrise Band. I mean, inspirations out there. Love it.
Yeah.
And Alvin was playing with the oxygen tanks on it.
That's right. Yeah, that's the thing, man. You know, like I want to be behind the drum kit until I can't, you know, until I fall off.
That's great advice. And thanks, can't wait to have you back on, Mark. Thanks so much. Keep on keeping on. People, it's been the last day of 2022, December 31st. Edition of the Watt from Peter Show. Please keep your powder dry.